Good morning and welcome again to Mornings for the Master, a program that is heard each weekday here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer. I am your Thursday host. And today we are in the second week of our look at the book of John. If you happen to miss last week's program, you can go to the on-demand section and pick that up, but we're also going to go back and review a little bit of those first few verses that we looked at last week as we move through chapter 1 today. So I hope you'll stay with me for the next few minutes as we spend this time in God's Word, getting our day going in the right direction. Now let's go back to the text of chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, No. Then they said to him, Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now, those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, What do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And so, As we looked at last week, the book of John begins with the thought of the eternal Word. The very first words penned by John point to the eternalness of Jesus Christ. Jesus existed from eternity. Jesus did not begin in the womb of Mary. Verse 1 said, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We find that Jesus was involved in the creation. He is Creator. Jesus had done great things even from the beginning. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The eternalness of Jesus is affirmed by many others besides John. The prophets affirm this. The prophet Micah spoke to the eternalness of Jesus. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. We could also note, if time permitted, verses such as Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and Zechariah chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Jesus himself affirmed his eternal nature. Notice in chapter 8, verses 56 through 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Paul affirmed also the eternalness of Christ in Colossians chapter 1. Consider verses 16 and 17. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. The eternalness of Christ is also affirmed by his role in the creation. Again, now we notice verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. The whole purpose of the book of John is to prove that these things are true so that we might believe. So we can see from these scriptures several basic truths. We see that Jesus is God. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Jesus is life, verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We see that Jesus is the light. Verse 5, and the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus offers us the light of life. In chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And Jesus, as God, offers man hope, light, and life. And so we find that John was sent to bear witness of the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Apostle John, our writer, introduces us here to John the Baptist. He was a man sent from God. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. According to verse 7, John bore witness that Jesus was the light. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. John testified, though, that he was not the light they were looking for. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Men today must also bear witness of the light, just as John the Baptist did so many years ago. We bear witness of the light in a number of ways. Our unity with one another bears witness. John 17, beginning in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The changed lives that we will live will bear witness of the light. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we spread the gospel, it bears witness of the light. Consider 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. But what about us as Christians today? Do we bear witness of the light by our unity with one another? Are we bearing witness of the light through our transformed or changed lives? And certainly we must ask the question, do we bear witness of the light by proclaiming the word? We must bear witness of the light so that others may believe. Verse 7 said, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. And so, as we move forward now, let us notice that we receive the light. Let's go to verse 9. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In verse 5, John described Jesus as the light that shines in darkness. In verses 6 through 8, John bore witness of the light, which is Jesus. And now he describes it as the light of all men. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. John points out to us several things in his gospel account. Not everyone is willing to receive the light. And even his own people generally rejected Jesus. But those who do receive Jesus indeed are blessed. But we note that some will not accept the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Jesus desires all to receive the light. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. For all that Jesus desired to bless men with, his brothers at first rejected, and his countrymen rejected him. Now John gives us other reasons that people rejected him. Some men loved darkness more than light. You could note chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And chapter 5, verses 42 and 43. Some men were afraid of what others might think. Notice chapter 7, verse 13, and chapter 9, verse 22. Many men were misinformed of the facts. Consider chapter 7, verses 40 through 43. And many of those of his day were hardened by their traditions. Chapter 9, verses 13 through 16, and we certainly see this still today. And another thing we see today still is some love the praise of men. John 12, verses 42 and 43. Some men will receive the light. Those who receive the light will receive the right to become children of God. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Those who receive Christ become heirs with Christ. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Those that receive the light become born of God. Verse 13, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We receive the light by believing in his name. He gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. We believe and thus obey his command to be baptized in Mark 16 and verse 16. And thus we become born of the water and of the Spirit, according to John 3 and verse 5. We put on Christ in baptism, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Jesus is the light. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, points us to the light so that believing we may have life. Consider chapter 20 and verse 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now verses 14 through 18 now point out to us that the Word, Jesus, became flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John had already identified the Word as Jesus in chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Again, verse 14, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was real and flesh and seen by men, and they witnessed his glory or greatness. It says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Men saw his glory as the Son of God. Men witnessed the transfiguration. Men witnessed his miracles and wonders. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Men witnessed his mercy, grace, truth, compassion, and infinite love. He is the one full of grace and truth. Jesus is truth. Chapter 14 in verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus has all preeminence. John the Baptist pointed this out. Verse 15, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And notice verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus has declared the Father. Jesus knew the Father equally, unlike the prophets who had declared only what they heard. But Jesus intimately knows the Father. Notice verse 14 says, and we beheld his glory. We behold the glory of his deity, his grace, his truth, his preeminence, and his word. That the Holy Spirit revealed unto the apostles. We cannot be transformed, as we read in Romans 12, without beholding his glory. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All men will one day behold his glory when he returns, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess his glory, according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Note what Paul told the Thessalonians. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's move on, and as we consider verses 19 through 34, and the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, No. Then they said to him, Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. John's example is a powerful one for all Christians, especially those who would be ministers of the gospel. As followers of Christ, our task is similar to his role as forerunner. To deflect attention away from ourselves and point people to Christ. We must never forget that no matter how honored we might be, we are not the Christ. He is preferred before us. While we may be the body of Christ, he is the head. Jesus deserves our humble service and adoration because of his preexistence, because of his headship over the body, the church. Notice the statement declaring Christ by John the Baptist in verse 25. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John proclaims the man who was preferred before him. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. John testified to Jesus as being before him and as the Savior of the world. John testified to Jesus as the Son of God. He said, And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. John points out that Jesus is the fulfillment of Matthew 3 and verse 11, where it says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And we see the fulfillment. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He said in verse 34, And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Consider the description that Jesus gave of the testimony of John in chapter 5, verses 33 through 35. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. As we come to verses 35 through 51, we see now the first disciples, as Jesus begins to look for those that will help him to spread the good news of the kingdom of heaven. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, What do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. And he found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Most assuredly I say to you hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So now, as we look at these first disciples, now go back to verse 35 and 36. Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. John certainly had the right attitude about his role when he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. He had said in chapter 3 and verse 30, He must increase and I must decrease. Here in chapter 1 and verse 30, he points out that Jesus was before him. In verse 37, then the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Two honest truth seekers who were not caught up in preacher worship, but rather instead they were seeking truth. In verse 38, Jesus asked them, What do you seek? He wanted to know what it was they desired of him. What do you desire of Jesus? Why are you a Christian today? So Jesus asked them the penetrating question that we all have to answer. Do I seek Jesus? Do I seek His truth? Or do I honor Him with the lip only? Where do you stay? They wanted to follow, but perhaps they did not fully realize yet what it meant to follow. In verse 39, He said to them, Come and see. We think of Psalm 34:8, where the psalmist said, Taste the Lord and see that He is good. In verse 40, we find the identity of one of the disciples of John is revealed. That, of course, being Andrew. We do not know the other that was with him. Many believe it was John. But notice, if you would, that the first thing that Andrew did was to go and find his brother Peter, Simon Peter, and to tell him that they had found the Messiah. Oh, for more like Andrew. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. He was spending his time following John and listening to the truth that John taught. He would have been baptized by John since he was a disciple of John. Andrew was a truth seeker. Are you a truth seeker? Andrew had found truth in the preaching of John. But when John pointed out the Christ to him, he left John and followed Jesus. Andrew was able to recognize the Messiah. Do you? Andrew did not have preacheritis. I've noticed through the years that in most places when a preacher leaves, a number will follow them to where they go, leaving the local work. Many followers would not leave John the Baptist, though, and the problem would later be seen in the church. Preacheritis causes problems. Follow Jesus. We might do well to recall 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. Now John would rejoice at Andrew leaving him to follow Christ. For as we talked about earlier, John had the right attitude, as we noticed in John 3 and verse 30. Jesus saw the honest heart in Andrew. Jesus knew what Andrew was seeking when he asked the question in verse 38. Andrew spent time with the Lord and learned of him. But how much time are we spending learning of Jesus? Andrew believed that Jesus was the Lamb of God. But does our lives reflect that belief? Or is it just an acknowledgement? Andrew, upon finding the Messiah, could not contain his joy and had to tell others. Do we have the same joy of faith as Andrew did? Paul, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Could I possibly be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Andrew had found the greatest thing ever known to man, and he wanted to share it. Andrew did not sit around waiting for the Lord to find another. He did not wait for the calling of Paul or someone else. He knew what he had to do. Are we guilty of waiting for the preacher or the elders or the deacons or teachers to tell others? Or do we go and find those in need of Jesus just like Andrew did? Our brother Andrew was totally convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. Are we? The first thing Andrew did was go to the one closest to him with the good news, his brother Simon Peter. They were not only brothers, but they worked together. Sometimes family is the hardest ones to go to, but it was the first place that Andrew went. Andrew used his influence on his family. Are we doing the same? Simon left his business simply on the word of Andrew. How strong is your word with others? When we think of Andrew, I like to think he's a representative of all the little guys. We don't read as much about him as we do Peter or Paul or some of the others. But what an effect. This is the man that brought Simon Peter to Jesus. And we could talk all day about the effect of the Apostle Peter on the world. But it would not have been without Andrew. We don't know a whole lot about Andrew. But maybe, just maybe, we can be an Andrew. We could be one that converts one, whose influence will be felt by many. Do you believe like he did? And so, our time is up today. Next week, if the Lord wills, we'll continue our study into the book of John. We'll look at the first miracle. I hope you'll join me for that. So if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week at this same time at 9 a.m. next Thursday here on the Gospel Radio Network. And remember, the program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio website in a day or so. And so, until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.